Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you are God and that you are in control of everything. Father, we humble ourselves before that purpose, Lord, and ask you, Lord, to bless our sister. Lord, to touch her supernaturally, Lord, that even on the way to the hospital, Father, she's being healed and, Lord, being touched by the hand of God. Father, I pray now that the word of God will fall upon receptive hearts and that, Lord, something great will happen in and through our services this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just to reiterate a little bit very quickly, you remember the professor was proud of himself because he had said that Christianity was basically a myth because he thought that you could assume that God was evil because evil existed. And then that student raised his hand and said, "Well, Professor, does cold exist?" And he said, "Of course it does." And that student boldly said, "Well, the law of physics says that cold does not exist. Rather, that cold is merely the absence of heat." And then the student continued on and he said, "Professor, does darkness exist?" And the professor said, "Silly boy, of course darkness exists." And the student replied, "Once again, sir, you are wrong. Darkness does not exist. Darkness, in reality, is the absence of light. Darkness is just a word that people use to describe the lack of light." Finally, the young man asked the professor, "Sir, does evil exist?" Now, more than a little disturbed, the professor said, "Of course it exists. You see it every day on the news." To this, the student replied, "Evil does not exist, sir. Evil is the absence of God." Just like the word darkness and cold, that word is created and used as the absence of God. God did not create evil. Evil is the result of what happens when God's not in a person's heart. At this, the professor sat down. And that young man's name was Albert Einstein. He knew what he was talking about. Last week, you may remember that we found that God's wrath is being revealed against all evil, against all ungodliness, against the unrighteousness that comes with it. And we found that human beings are perfectly capable of knowing right from wrong. We just choose to do nothing with what we know, and that's called sin. We also found that God eventually will give us over to our evil, He'll give us over to our ungodliness, and He will permit our so-called evil or absence of God to govern our lives. He'll give us over to that. But that choice does not come without consequences. For the wages, that is, the consequences of sin, is death. Now, you'll see this picture many times between now and the end of March. Because using this one verse of Romans 6:23, you can find that you can adequately share Jesus Christ with someone who's never met Him. For the wages or consequences of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we found last week also that Paul divided the gospel, the good news, into three themes. He said there's one theme that's sin, there's another theme that's salvation, and the third theme is sanctification. That is, everyone has sinned. Amen? Everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. However, everyone can be saved from the penalty of our sin. And furthermore, everyone can be used to draw other people to God. Sin, salvation, and sanctification. The thing is that a person has got to see that they have an absence of God. They've got to see that there's evil in their life. They've got to see that there's sin in their life before they can understand the need to be saved. So how in the world can we escape the consequences of our sin? How can we be saved from our ungodliness? How can we have peace with God? How can we mend this broken relationship with our Creator? See, God desires to be in fellowship with people. And the thing is that because of our sinful nature, we choose to do our own thing and leave God high and dry. So we choose not to be in fellowship with Him. So how can we escape the wrath of God? How can we have peace with God and mend this relationship? Well, I guess we're going to need some sort of mediator to settle this conflict. I guess we're going to need someone who has the ability to speak for both sides of the fence in this conflict. I guess we need somebody who can find a solution to our problem. The Apostle Paul and the Word of God states clearly that Jesus Christ is the mediator between us and God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. And let's read a little bit about how we can have peace with God. In verse 1, the Word of God says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations." Was Paul sick or what? "We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice. We rejoice today in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now received the atonement or the reconciliation." I'm going to show you this morning five components of faith that will give you peace with God. The first is, if you want to have peace with God, you've got to have faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, therefore, since we've been made right, since we're justified by faith, we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did. He says, since we've been justified by faith. Paul argues that we're not made right with God by doing the right thing. We're not made right with God by good works. We're not made right with God by obeying the spiritual law. We're not made right through religion. We're only made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. We are the ones who disobeyed God. We are the ones who turned our back on God. And because of that, we are not right with God. All of the religions in the world are searching for a way to have peace with God. Every religion recognizes that there's a problem. We need peace with God. But it's the solution that makes them different. The difference between Christianity and all the other religions is the way that humans are made right with God. Unlike those other religions, Christianity is not about humans trying to find a way to reach God. Rather, it's about God coming down and rescuing us. Christianity is not about you and me working to make God happy. Instead, it's about God coming down, loving us, even though we don't make Him happy. Christianity is not about men and women searching for God. It's about God searching for men and women. Being saved, Having peace with God does not come from something me and you can do. It comes from something God already did. That's what makes Christianity unique. It's what makes it unusual and so absolutely amazing. Peace with God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible couldn't be simpler, even for a hard head like me. I get it. The Bible's made it real simple. It says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I get that. I don't understand all the details, but I don't need to, do I? All I know is that I can have peace with God through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we want peace with God, you're going to have some faith. If you want peace with God, you're going to have to use faith as your starting point. Verse 1 says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this. All the blessings, all the promises that we find in the Bible come to us through faith. By believing. I know it seems like it should be a whole lot more complicated than that, but it's not. It's faith. It's how we receive the blessings and promises. That's all it really takes, is believing, having faith. So the first thing that we need to have peace with God is faith in Jesus Christ. But we must also have faith in God's grace. Being that we have peace with God because of what Jesus has done, because of our faith, Christ Jesus has brought us into God's grace, brought us into God's favor where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory one day. Grace. You've heard it defined any number of ways. I've heard it defined as God's unmerited favor. I heard somebody here say that grace was God's riches at Christ's expense. But let me give you the basics of grace. Grace is when God shows me and you compassion and kindness, even though we don't deserve it. That's grace. And can I tell you, friends, that God's grace is a gift. It's a gift. It's not something that's earned. It's something that's freely given. God's grace is never deserved. Rather, it's accepted. God's grace is never achieved by our effort. Rather, it's accepted with ease. God's grace is free to you and I. Peace with God is made possible because of His grace, not because me and you are hard workers. It's all about God. It's all about God. He deserves all the credit. He's the one that gave the gift. So peace comes from having faith in Jesus Christ, but also having faith in the grace of God. Thirdly, we also have to have faith in the Holy Spirit. Let me read verses 3 and 5 again. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. These verses tell me and you how tribulations and difficulties work in our lives right now. That tells us how these tribulations work in our lives in the here and now. You don't have to worry about, you don't have to wait until the end days. God will give you perseverance today. He'll give you help today in your difficulties, in your tribulations. They tell how these problems and trials that we have develop character in our lives. These verses tell us that character and hope are developed in our lives as a result of our trials and tribulations. But the most important thing is it tells us that these trials and these desperate situations teach us how to deepen our relationship with God. Perseverance is important. Character is important. But hope deepens my reliance in God's power, not my own. That's where our focus needs to be. Tough times happen to every human being on earth. Nobody is exempt. Every human being experiences tough times. But for the believer, these difficulties make us stronger. For the believer, these difficulties draw us closer to our Maker. And if there's anybody that can do anything about my trials and my difficulties, it's the God who made me. I want to be close to Him. Amen. All through time, God promised that He would send His Holy Spirit to help us in our walk. He promised that He would send His own Spirit to be in us, to help us as we walked in peace with God. Nearly 600 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Ezekiel said this: "The Lord says, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new spirit to be within you. And I'll take that heart of stone out of your heart. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and cause you to keep my judgments and to do them." Friends, we are living in that promised time. We are living in the days where the Holy Spirit of God lives in the believer. The Old Testament folks didn't have it. Before Jesus, they didn't have the Holy Spirit in the believers. We do. God walks with us every step of our way. We just fail to recognize it and fail to remember that our God is with us every step of the way. A promise that my heart will be transformed, that I can be changed, and I can be strengthened in order to obey my God. I can do it. The Holy Spirit working in my heart, that blows my mind. The Holy Spirit of God working in my heart as I live with peace with God. Man, I thank Him for the Spirit every day. For the Spirit that convicts me of my sin. Anybody here ever been convicted of sin? Come on. Don't get too righteous in church now. To have a Spirit who guides me in obedience and a Spirit who enlightens my understanding of God's Word. Has anybody ever read God's Word and said, huh? Can I tell you that every morning, to some degree, I say, huh? But I always tell a brother or sister who's willing to read the Word, if God gives you a clear understanding of one word, if He gives you a clear understanding of one comma, then that's exactly what He wanted for you that day. You ain't always going to get it. You're going to say, huh? But the Spirit will enlighten your understanding. And He will gift you with supernatural abilities for you to use here at the church. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. To be good stewards of what we've been given. Not only our children and our wives and our husbands and our families. Not only our money and our resources. But what about the gifts of God that He's given you? Are you using your gift? Every believer is promised to have gifts of God for use in the church. Are you being a good steward? Have you seen that peace with God, that peace with God comes through faith in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit? Do you get it? Faith. And then in verses 6 through 9, Paul begins to narrow his focus. He narrows in and he explains that it's important also to have faith in Christ's sacrifice. Verse 6. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone might deem dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved. Say saved. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. That speaks to me, because I deserve God's wrath. Amen? But I've been saved from that wrath. What amazing perspective on the work of God that Paul gives us. You see, that's not just a description of our salvation, but it's also a fantastic description of how much God loves you. But God demonstrates His own love toward you, that while you were still evil, Christ Jesus, His Son, died for you. While we were a sinful, rebellious enemy of God, God made peace with us. While we were turning our backs on Him, He came and died for us. Paul makes a great point that people usually don't sacrifice their lives for one another. In some rare cases, someone might sacrifice their life for a good person, but never for an evil person. I read about one lady who was diagnosed with cancer. Her cancer was so severe that the only way to treat it was with this harsh, harsh chemotherapy. The problem was, she was pregnant. And if she went through that chemotherapy, the baby would die. And so, she refused to take that treatment so that her unborn child could live. Now, the doctors took the baby about a month early. And immediately after delivery, they immediately started with that harsh chemotherapy. But it was too late. It was too late. That mother gave her life so her son could be born. I've heard about many people who are willing to sacrifice their lives for family members. I think that we kind of almost expect it a little bit, don't we? I can relate with that okay, but who would die for an enemy? Who would be willing to sacrifice their life for somebody evil? Who'd be willing to take the place of a guilty, condemned man? I probably wouldn't take the place of somebody on death row. Would you? Why is that? Because we feel that that person on death row deserves the punishment. He deserves to be there. He's there for a reason. But Paul reminds us that while we were still evil, sinners, rebellious, Christ died for us. Even though we deserved the punishment and He didn't, He still died for us. He paid the penalty. He took our place on death row. How many of you know that you were on death row, awaiting eternal death before Christ came on the picture? Would you die for you? Without Christ dying for us, we'd be dead, eternally dead. Without Christ dying for us, without Him representing us, we'd surely perish. Without Jesus rising from the dead, we'd never have new life. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he gives us the gospel in a nutshell, and he says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also have received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. That He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again." That's the gospel. And believing in that gospel is how we escape the wrath of God. That's how we have peace with God. Not by us paying a penalty, because we can't, but by Christ paying it for us. Now, in order for us to have it take effect, we've got to take a step of faith. We've got to take a step of faith. And verse 9 explains what Christ's sacrifice does for you and I. "Much more than having now been justified by His blood." You see, it's Christ's blood, it's Christ's sacrifice that makes you and I right with God. It's only Christ's blood that can cover our sins. It's only Christ's blood that can save us from the wrath of God. It's only Jesus' sacrifice that can give us peace with God and mend this broken relationship we have. So the choice is this. You can place your faith in yourself, or you can place your faith in Christ Jesus, who died for you. Finally, peace with God comes when we have faith in God's promise. I want you to know this morning that peace with God is just not some future event. That peace with God enables you to have peace in the here and now. It enables us to have peace now. It's not just about going to heaven when you die. It's about being in a right relationship with Him now. That's where people miss the boat. They come into Christianity wanting some fire insurance so they don't have to burn in hell, but so that they can be with God in heaven. And so they take that step of faith, but never let their faith go farther. They never receive the promises of God because they never intentionally work on their relationship with the Father. I want you to know that right now, God can save you. That right now, God can keep you safe. That right now, you can have fellowship with Him for the rest of your life. But it's your choice. Look at verse 10 and 11, and we'll close. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice today in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, verse 10 is a great evidence that should tell you, it tells me, that God's got the ability to keep me secure. He's got the ability to keep me saved. If God has the ability and the desire to save me in the first place, then guess what? He's got the ability and the desire to keep me saved, no matter what. I don't have to fear losing my salvation. I don't have to fear being saved one day and not saved the next day. Because when I'm saved, by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, God says, it's a done deal. I don't have to fear losing my salvation because it's been a gift given to me. In verse 11, there's that word, rejoice. You and I can rejoice. Just look at all God has done for you. It was so appropriate that we talked about the praises and rejoicing in what God can do for us. Now, that word rejoice in the original language means to boast or to brag. Now, you can't boast and you can't brag about what you've done for God, but you can sure boast and brag about what God's done for you, amen? And that's how we ought to rejoice. How can we escape the wrath of God? One word. Faith. Not faith in ourselves. Not faith in good deeds. Not faith in baptism, as so many people think. I've been baptized, I'm good. Not faith in baptism. Not faith in religion. Not faith in good deeds. But faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the grace of God. Faith in the Holy Spirit of God. Faith in the sacrifice Christ made. Faith in the promises of God. And that faith comes when we begin to recognize our sin and realize that something's got to be done about it. It comes when we stop trying to do things our way and allow God to express His love His way. Salvation is a free gift, and faith is accepting it. Friend, if your faith is in something other than Jesus Christ, you do not have peace with God. If your faith is something other than the grace of God, You don't have peace with him. Furthermore, if you're not seeing evidence of a changed life, you ain't got peace with God because you ain't got Jesus in your life. If you're not seeing evidence of a changed life, then I want you to know you don't have peace with God and you ain't saved. Jesus changes lives. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes and allow me to ask you this question. Where is your faith? If you're ready to put your faith in Christ Jesus, I'm going to give you a moment to settle that right now. It is as simple as saying to God, God, I know I'm a sinner. I sense the evil. I sense the absence of God in my life. I need your grace. I want Christ's sacrifice to take my place. I want to have peace with you. I want to escape your wrath against sin. I believe that Christ Jesus died for my sin. I want to walk in a right relationship with you. And I want your Holy Spirit to give me a brand new heart. Brothers and sisters, if that is your prayer this morning, I'm going to give you a few moments of silence for you to talk to God. Jesus said, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, in him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes into his Father's glory. We are about to have an invitation time that is an opportunity for you to declare, I am not ashamed. I've prayed to God. I've received the gift of peace and pardon that he offers through faith in Jesus, through faith in his grace, through faith in his Spirit, through faith in Christ's sacrifice, and through faith in the promises of God. Brother Bill, I now come to get my gift. Lord, I thank you that your word speaks true. Lord, I am so thankful, Lord, that your word is simple, even to the hard-hearted, even to the hard-headed like me. Father, I am so grateful that I just need to know that I can have peace with you when I place my faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for not making it some complex system of obeying rules and getting dunked in water only. Father, those are important things. Father, it's about what you did, not about what I can do. So Lord, I pray, if someone here has prayed that prayer, let them not be ashamed. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.